You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here today on a Monday. Let's see, if I had Eric with, I'd probably call it Monday with the Muchachos. I got a name for every day of the week, but I don't have one for the combination of us. I got to think of something, a tagline.
No, usually when we're on, we're in the reverse position. Uh-huh. I'm on that side of the glass, so good to switch it up a little bit here.
Yeah, that's what the repartee is great. We got all these different configurations of hosts and producers that we run through. You get to get a lot of different views on this show. But Brett, this weekend I had an interesting experience. Me and Eric went down on Saturday to the Libertarian Party State Convention, and we did a episode of our show, Mission Accomplishers, down at the convention the entire day. We were there from 8 in the morning till about 8 at night, 12 hours with the Libertarians.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you have a Don't Tread on Me shirt now?
I had one before, and I brought it with, but I didn't have the guts to wear it. It says it's a yellow T-shirt with the snake on it, like the Libertarian flag. But instead of Don't Tread on Me, it says, I'm white and afraid of everything. But I decided not to wear that shirt because, frankly, I would be a little afraid. I mean, they had a self-defense class at this Libertarian convention. So I decided against that. I wore a Mission Accomplishers T-shirt, actually. And it actually, the entire show was pretty civil. I decided, like, partway through the day, I was thinking about it. It was like, should I challenge them on this or should I hear them out? And I decided to do the more hear them out angle and kind of pry, why did they come to this party and this ideology? What happened in their life that shaped their views? And also just a lot of questions about the organization itself. Very interesting. We found out from the chair himself that the Libertarian Party, because they haven't reached that 5% in a statewide election, they don't have major party status. So to run in any election, a Libertarian has to get 100,000 signatures. So that's for state House, state Senate. Any election that a Libertarian would want to run in requires 100,000 signatures. So that is a tall order. That is a lot of people. So that was really interesting to sit down with the chair and talk about that. We conducted about 5 interviews there, and then me and Eric had some back and forth and analysis of what we saw. But the episode's up on our website on am950radio.com, on iTunes and SoundCloud. So check it out. We have some of the interviews broken up. Like we sit down with State Senator Scott Jensen, my senator, actually. He gave a speech at the Libertarian Party convention. So we have about a 15-minute conversation with Scott Jensen, which that was pretty interesting. After having that conversation, though, Brett, I don't think Scott Jensen would ever become a Democrat.
Here's what I'm kind of curious about. So he was at the Libertarian Party convention. I'm surprised. Well, maybe they are. The Republicans aren't mad about that.
We asked him about that because that was peculiar to go to an opposing party's convention and speak. But he kind of phrased it as he wanted to share a dialogue with the Libertarians and that he shares some of the same views so he doesn't feel bound to just participating in the Republican Party. And, I mean, that's consistent with how Scott Jensen governs, too. He's more of a renegade than most of the Republicans. Like, you'll find him on a lot of no votes or opposing the Republican caucus. So we kind of dove into that and where he forms his decision. So very interesting. Check it out, Mission Accomplishers, from April 27th at the Libertarian Party Convention. Very, very fun time. But let's do a little, let's see what our representatives from Minnesota in Washington, D.C. have been up to lately. I got a little rundown of a few of our representatives. We'll start with Ilhan Omar. And the man making death threats to Representative Ilhan Omar had over 100,000 bullets and illegal guns. So you remember a while back there was a man who got arrested for making death threats to Ilhan Omar. He was in New York. But they searched his house and found just a whole stockpile of weapons and bullets. That is terrifying. She's faced a lot of really dangerous threats from people. And the fact that a man like this would be armed to that degree, that's pretty terrifying. He also confronted her once and said, "Do you work for the Muslim Brotherhood?" So,
Hold on, I missed this. So this guy's actually met her in person at a different occasion as well?
Yeah, earlier on, and he asked. It might have been just to a staffer, like he showed up at the office, so I'm not sure if he actually got face-to-face with her, but that was his question. But, yeah, it's good that they apprehended him. And then it's just a shame that we have to deal with such terrible threats and that the right-wing media and Donald Trump and the Republicans play into this often and really risk Ilhan Omar's life. But my representative, Dean Phillips, he had a town hall last Monday on the opioid epidemic, which is very refreshing because if you remember, who he replaced, Eric Paulson, was notorious for never having town halls and being very difficult to ever track down. So Dean Phillips really campaigned on that he, if elected, would be transparent, would have town halls, would hear people out from all sides, and he's been delivering on that. And let's see, U.S. Representative Dean Phillips joined a panel of healthcare leaders in a community conversation in Shorewood Monday night to discuss the opioid crisis. That's the last Monday. The panel discussed how overdoses have taken a financial toll on counties, and counties pick up the tab from everything from emergency services to child protection. And for this event, I actually got to speak with Dean Phillips' team when they were organizing it, and they were asking for feedback and things that I would recommend that they people to reach out to and topics that they covered. And when I was speaking with his team, they informed me that Dean Phillips joined the task force in Washington for combating the opioid epidemic. So he has really taken the lead on this issue down in Washington, which I'm thrilled about because, as we know in the state, we just passed the opioid stewardship bill, which is going to create a council of 18 people, $20 million annually from the pharmaceutical industry to combat the opioid epidemic at the state level. But federally, I will actually give Donald Trump and his team credit on this issue because I read through their federal plan to tackle the opioid epidemic, and there wasn't much that I could argue with. The only thing I would say is that it could go further, but I was really expecting to dive into that and hate and make a podcast and all the things wrong with it. But Chris Christie was in charge of creating that national plan, and he actually did a fairly good job on it because New Jersey's a state that's been hit really hard. So I was encouraged by that, but we still have to deal with Congress and addressing this issue. So it's good to know that one of our representatives is one of the leaders on this issue. Now, in CD2, Angie Craig sends water protection bill to the Senate. So a bill that could mean hundreds of thousands of more dollars for the protection of Minnesota's waterways and millions more across the nation has found bipartisan support and recently cleared the U.S. House. So the Local Water Protection Act, authorized by U.S. Representative Angie Craig, Democrat of Minnesota, co-sponsored with Brian Mast of Florida, a Republican, will now go to the Senate after clearing the House 329-56. The Senate Environmental and Public Waters Committee will decide whether to hear and endorse it to the full chamber. But Andrew Craig leading on this clean water issue, and that will be going to the Senate, which the Senate's always a bit more difficult to get anything through, and they have power to decide what bills will even get hearings or reach the floor. So an uphill battle when the Republicans control the Senate. Now, here's a story about a group of Minnesota representatives. So three Minnesota congressmen actually vote against Violence Against Women Act. Now, it's a pretty straightforward law. It provides money for victim aid, legal help, and in a rare moment of putting the lives of women ahead of the wishes of men, it also barred ex-husbands, family members, and live-in boyfriends from owning guns should they be convicted of a felony, stalking, or domestic violence. So Congress' reason was statistically sound when guns are added to the recipe of abusing women. The risk of homicide leaps by 500%. But that law, that was in place, but it has expired. So it has to be passed anew now. And a revised bill was launched in the U.S. House with minor changes to close some of the loopholes. It addressed the most glaring omission, adding non-live-in boyfriends. It would also bar those convicted of misdemeanor stalking and domestic violence from possessing guns as well. And there's good reason. Violence isn't restricted to immediate family and cohabiting boyfriends. And any stalking victim can speak how hard it is to get basic protection. Much less a conviction for anything. Law enforcement's indifference to crimes against women need no introduction. Even in cases as severe as rape, only 6% of Minnesotans' perpetrators will spend even a single day in jail. The three members who voted against renewing this Violence Against Women Act were Minnesota Republicans Jim Hagedorn, Tom Emmer, and, of course, Democrat Colin Peterson.
Again, really?
Yep, I know. Colin Peterson, a Democrat in name only. I mean, do you ever hear of him doing anything decent these days?
He's not a complete extremist right winger, but he's just a Republican at this point.
I know. It's just every story you hear about Colin Peterson is just siding with the Republicans and kind of to an extreme degree.
Here's a question. In theory, if Scott Jensen, of course, your state senator, was part of CD7, would he actually be to the left of Colin Peterson on a lot of issues?
Just
in theory question, because I would almost vote for Jensen over Peterson if that were, in theory, an election for an office.
I mean, Scott Jensen would be better on guns and on holding the pharmaceutical industry accountable. He's authored the insulin bill and a strong supporter of the opioid stewardship bill. Scott Jensen also introduced that bill to legalize marijuana in the state. So it is interesting. Scott Jensen may be to the left of Colin Peterson.
As you were bringing up, what would happen if we were to run a liberal Republican against a conservative Democrat Colin Peterson? Jensen's necessarily liberal, but
and
he's different.
Yeah, you could potentially, because you're not barred to where you live when you run for Congress in Minnesota, correct?
Oh, that's right. For a conversation we have with Doug, yes.
Yeah, so he could potentially run for that seat where he resides now. So that is an interesting hypothetical. And I wonder how that would play out. Because, I mean, clearly the Republican Party is popular in that district, but Colin Peterson has such a long history and connections with people, like on a personal level, that he manages to hold on to that seat no matter what. But, a Republican challenger like a Scott Jensen, that would be interesting, because me and Brett talked about that. What if you ran progressive Republicans in some of these seats where there's conservative Democrats? That's an interesting one.
Maybe we got to put that bug in Scott Jensen's ear.
Yeah, I know. I wish I would have thought of this on Saturday.
He'd probably say no, because I think ultimately in CD7 he would lose because he didn't live there. And just because I know in rural areas that's such a big issue, is being not just a resident, lifer of the whole district.
Yeah, and that's why Colin Peterson manages to hold on to that seat, is just his personal connection to the area and relationships with people. So that is big out there, and they might not take kindly to an outsider. But Scott Jensen did offer, he's willing to come on this program for a half hour and take calls from the listener so we can have a discussion, a little bi-party discussion. Hopefully we'll set that up soon. Maybe right after session and talking about next year's plans, but I'd like to do that. So we're taking calls, 952-946-6205. We'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
April showers bring May flowers, but who knows what else April weather will bring. Fortunately, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has you covered. Standard's triple savings sale saves you up to $2,300 when you install a new furnace and AC before April 30th. So, find out more about Standard's triple savings sale and how you can save up to $2,300 today at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Dad, don't you have a delusional "my dad is radio host Matt McNeil" opening line for this ad?
I'll let you speak from your heart this time, son.
Sure. I drive a Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. It handles great, even during nasty weather, and it carries all my stuff. I play baseball, and the Sienna has room for half the team and all our gear. The Sienna is great.
Having another driver in the family is a stress reliever, but knowing he's driving himself, his sisters, and his friends in a reliable and safe Toyota Sienna is peace of mind. Thanks, Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here on a Monday for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. And another note, some podcasting updates, is a couple weeks ago I gave a talk alongside Professor David Schultz, who's kind of a regular guest on this station, and he gave a talk on the future of democratic socialism in America, and I actually recorded his talk as well as mine, which is on the rise of left-wing media going on in this country right now, and both those are available on am950radio.com. They're definitely a good listen, and the quality is actually spectacular. I was a little nervous about that, but great sounding recording from that event. But yeah, my talk on the rise of left-wing media, really interesting because there's such a stigma of progressive talk radio and kind of the long-held belief that progressive talk doesn't work. But that's actually not the case, and especially since Donald Trump has been elected, where there's so many stations across the country that the biggest problem is finding enough left-wing content rather than getting listeners to tune in. So Tom Hartman is actually the seventh highest rated radio program in the country currently. And that is a pretty remarkable feat when you think about the infrastructure of right-wing talk radio and how in some markets you'll hear the Rush Limbaughs or Dennis Prager's on four different stations simultaneously. Whereas Tom Hartman has reached out to a lot of community radio stations. He's on our station, of course, but manages to get the same amount of ratings as those big name right-wing talk radio hosts. So it's definitely an interesting topic. Head over to am950radio.com and listen to David Schultz's talk as well as mine. But we're taking phone calls, 952-946-6205. Another thing I wanted to note is, do you hear about this, Brett? Grand Old Days is taking a year off. Now, I'm a big fan of Grand Old Days. I used to go when I was just a little kid. My parents would kind of drag me to Grand Old Days, and I'd have to sit in a stroller while they watched concerts and play with my little action figures. But, I mean, those memories stayed with me, and I was a big fan of Grand Old Days, but it's not happening. They just announced that Grand Old Days 2019 is canceled, and it was a difficult, unanimous decision. But one of the board directors made the call. He says that it's a business decision and the impact on the neighborhood is the reason that they aren't having it this year, which it's a shame. I don't really know what the problem is. It's not clear. It's a Facebook post that they said, and it's got really flowery language, not getting down to the meat and bones of why they're canceling it. But no Grand Old Days this year.
I heard for sure, because I have a friend that lives by, or used to live, where that takes place, that they are for sure planning on bringing it back in 2020, is what the word was.
So yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Just a one-year hiatus, it sounds like.
That's really strange, though.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Minnesota, though, when it gets warm, there are festivals every single weekend of the spring, summer, and fall. Like, we jam it all in after the winter. Like, there's this, you spend your winters at home in solitude, and then when the warm weather comes, it's just Minnesotans are out and about, and there's something going on every single weekend. So, Brett, there's a new billboard that targets Senator Tina Smith over the Green New Deal. And listen to what they...
This could go a couple of different perspectives, so I'll listen to hear what it says.
So the billboard reads, "Ask Tina Smith about 430,000 Minnesota jobs that are at risk under the Green New Deal." Now, think about that number for a second. 430,000 jobs. Now, Minnesota has a population of around 5 million people, and not all of those 5 million people work. So that number alone is, 10% of the population?
Yeah, because obviously our whole population, we got kids in there, too, that losing their jobs because of this.
To reach this number, the only thing I could think of is that they include anything at all that involves gasoline. So any driver, anyone with a commute, I have no idea how you could reach this number. And then, of course, there's no way to look at the findings of where they came up with this. It's financed by the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which, that's kind of scary. That's a legitimate organization. That's affiliated with the actual Republican Party. But to have 430,000 jobs, you must be including just any job that involves gasoline at all. So they're saying if the Green New Deal passed, that people who drive will no longer have a job. The mining, that's a potential actual risk if the Green New Deal was passed. But there's not 430,000 miners.
No.
So
maybe Xcel Energy employees, but there's not yeah, 100,000 of those or something crazy. Like
to
that.
Get to that number, it's just everything must be included. And what's really ironic, too, is that they go with the angle of job risk when the Green New Deal is a job-creating program. That's the whole foundation of it. I mean, that's the New Deal aspect of it. It's a public works process to get Americans to work, well-paying jobs to combat the climate crisis and look at more renewable energy options. So to me, that number is just kind of hilarious that chose to go with that.
If anything, I thought there would be a billboard that might be calling her out for not supporting the Green Deal enough. That's kind of what I was thinking originally it was going to be about, because she's been a little wishy-washy kind of on that issue.
I know, so that's a weird person to target, too, Tina Smith of all people. Like, she doesn't have the best track record from Democrats on the issue of the Green New Deal and copper sulfide mining. So, the Republicans are putting up billboards against Tina Smith saying she's going to risk 430,000 Minnesota jobs. I tried to calculate how many working Minnesota there actually are, but it was hard to find the statistics on it because you have to account for anyone under 16 wouldn't be a working Minnesotan because you can't work under 16. And then the retirement age, that's tricky because most people retire at, what, like 65, but some continue working on. So they didn't have any stats on how many working Minnesotans there actually are, but I don't think one-tenth are at risk.
I wonder if we're included in that. Somehow they, like, finagled a way to say that we're somehow impacted by this because we work at a radio station, and trying to draw lines here on how they could connect that.
Because we have to commute here. I mean, you might not lose your job because you ride a bike. I do, too. So maybe everyone else would get fired and if the Green New Deal passed. Only the bikers would keep their jobs.
It's tough following Republican logic. I don't know if I can do it anymore.
I know. I wish I could find the exact stats on where they got that. But let's take a break. Taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is David the Trucker, and we're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, because that's what we do here. Celebrate all things progressive.
Here's six great reasons to join Sick of Salmon Shares. Truly wild, hook and line caught Alaskan fish the way it was meant to be. Community focused, producer owned by our Alaskan fishing families. Exceptional quality, sashimi grade artisan caught fish. Sustainable and traceable, back to the exact boat and fisherman who caught it. Convenient and affordable, delivered directly to your home with delicious recipes in a variety of membership levels, all 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Learn more at SITKASalmonShares.com and use code AM950 when you join.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, I'm often asked what kind of furniture Habitation offers. Now, I can go two ways with this. I can say something like, Habitation specializes in warm, modern, raw, industrial, and organic contemporary home furnishings. But what does that mean? It means that we have some really cool stuff, and that is the answer that usually goes over better. But cool doesn't mean crazy. And I'm proud to say that everything we offer at Habitation is functional and comfortable. The type of furniture that will allow you to express yourself but still works every day. So there it is. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
At Mother Earth Gardens, we've been selling heirloom and open pollinated plants for your backyard homestead since 1994. We research our products and we handpick every pot, trellis, and gift. So if you love 50-plus varieties of tomatoes, native planting for pollinators, and a shocking variety of annuals and perennials, make the journey to one of our two locations, South Minneapolis across from the Riverview Theater and Northeast at Stinson and Lowry. Small footprint, surprising selection. MotherEarthGarden.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 38. Tuesday, rain with a high near 51. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 53. And Thursday, cloudy with a high near 57. Find everything you need for planting this season, from seeds to starters, at Mother Earth Gardens. They have high-quality, sustainably grown plants and many eco-friendly products as well. They have locations in the Longfellow neighborhood and in Northeast Minneapolis at Stinson and Lowry, online at MotherEarthGarden.com.
This is Gary of Minneapolis on the Minnesota Progressive Rapporteur. I got a question for you Trumpsters, or Trumpeteers, whatever you want to call yourselves. As the billionaires have grabbed everything in the country and caused so much suffering and poverty, why do you put them in power, a billionaire and a bunch of his cronies? You must be a bunch of masochists.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here, and man, that is a really triumphant bumper from Gary. Fantastic.
We got to get around to these, too, because Gary sent us, like, two other ones. That
oh, did he?
I just haven't gotten around to it. I don't think you've gotten around to it either.
No.
So.
We're planning on having Gary sit down for an interview for Mission Accomplishers coming up. We couldn't do it this weekend because the Libertarian Party convention, but now it's open, so we'll figure that out with Gary and have him sit down, come in studio. That should be a great discussion. But we're taking calls at 952-946-6205. And I want to talk about homelessness and homeless shelters. Because I just got a notice yesterday that there is a proposal to build a homeless shelter for young adults on my block, actually. And this is the same proposal that was brought up in 2017 and didn't pass because there was so much of an outrage from other neighbors that this would potentially lower their property values and bring riffraff in and kind of just very hateful comments towards the homeless people. And why I think this is interesting, because it's literally going to potentially be two blocks away from my house. And I actually know a homeless person in Chaska. He would come over to our house often. He'd do work for me and my mom. And I found out that he was living under a bridge during, like, the polar vortex and the entire winter. Like, he was living in a tent and sleeping bag through all that. And I was just like, I didn't even know that was possible to survive in that outside. So the idea that building a homeless shelter for 16 young adults is the plan is going to create all this chaos in the neighborhood and have all these negative effects. You know what really causes that? Is when you have homeless people living on the street already. I mean, if you're talking about lowering your property values, think of what a potential encampment would do to property values. I mean, we saw that in Minneapolis, and the like potential risks for issues like property values or crime is much higher if you don't address the homelessness itself. I mean, if people have a place to live, they're going to be far more unlikely to engage in criminal behaviors of the risk of losing that place to live. I mean, Minnesota gives you a lot of motivation to want to live indoors with the winters that we have. And I would like to note that my friend that I have actually just got into a homeless building through the Salvation Army, and that was a 2-3 year waiting process where he just kind of lived on the streets of Chaska the whole time. In the summer, you'd see him biking around, but the winter, that is what's really scary, is that entire winter, the majority of it, he spent outside. And he's not the only homeless person in Chaska. There is a lobby of people that are well aware of the numbers of especially young people in that area. They founded Launch Ministries, and they actually had a breakfast this Saturday that I would have attended had it not been for the Libertarian Party convention. Donzel Leggett, who ran for state house in that district, he was the keynote speaker. But Launch Ministry is a big advocate for this specific homeless housing building. But I'm concerned because when they have this hearing on May 8th at 7 p.m. at the Chaska City Council, I've already seen on Facebook in some neighborhood groups people using that same old logic that homelessness is going to lower their property values and it's going to create crime in the area. And those arguments were able to win in 2017. This is kind of a close to an identical proposal. It's at the exact same location, a little bit different of a plan. They have 26 units are going to be market rate apartment buildings, and 16 of the units are going to be homeless housing. So it's going to be kind of a co-opt apartment building, a good way to integrate back into society if you have been living homeless for a long time. I will definitely be there May 8th at the Chaska City Council to testify, and I hope that my testimony will be powerful since I'm actually on the block that it's proposed of. I'm two blocks away from the actual building, and I want to share my experiences of the person I know in Chaska and how I am very welcoming to the idea of building the shelter on our block. I talked about the encampment in Minneapolis that we saw over last fall into the winter, and it's great to hear that 114 of those people have found housing, and that Mayor Jacob Frey, along with city, tribal, and nonprofit leaders, really pushed to get a solution to this. And we talked a lot about it in the fall and kind of the holdups. It's unfortunate it took as long as it did, but it's fantastic that 114 people in that encampment will now be housed. So Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Red Lake Nation members, and representatives of Avivo, a human service organization and other community activists, came together in Avivo's Chicago Avenue headquarters Tuesday to celebrate finding housing for the people from the encampment and the shelter. It's called the Navigation Center. So Frey touted the extraordinary partnership among the groups while admitting the situation was the most complex issue he dealt with in his first year in office. "We were witnessing people who had undoubtedly been experienced homelessness before, but it was now visible." So that's kind of what I think of that encampment, is that that's what was powerful of it, was people banding together to make a visual representation of what they're dealing with, rather than being cast out and hidden from society so it could continue to be ignored. They got together, made a visible shantytown, and that got people questioning, what's going on here? What are solutions to this? So it was a good tactic, and it's great that there's been some resolution in this and that they found housing.
And what else would affect property values more than having a homeless encampment?
Exactly.
People don't understand. they're not just going to go away if mm-hmm. you don't build the center. It's not like they're just going to poof, disappear.
And this
homeless
is...
Homeless people are going to be there still.
Such a huge problem having any sort of affordable housing or homeless housing because planning commissions across the state and country have relied on the model of just building as many luxury apartments as they can because there's short-term benefits to that. But we've seen that model's been going on for like 20 years now. And some of the first places, like when I lived in New York, that was a big thing, was building luxury apartments all through Brooklyn. And they saw it as cleaning up Brooklyn. But it's caused those areas to have insane rents and displace a ton of people because of it. So you end up dealing with consequences on the long term when you rely on luxury apartments to solve your short term profitability of the town. So we've seen that in Chaska. We've had a couple of these luxury apartments raised recently, and they actually were right on top of like the ethnic shops and businesses of the town. They decided to tear down all the Mexican markets and restaurants that were all in one strip. There was also some Asian businesses in this. But, of course, that's what they target. They use that as a way that they can get these businesses out and build a luxury apartment. So, but this is common on city commissions all across the state. I mean, you see these luxury apartments going up all the time. I mean, in your where you live, is there many luxury apartment buildings? Have you noticed that?
In what area again?
Just where you live.
Oh yeah, I don't want to get too specific, but yeah where I live, there's a fairly large luxury apartment complex, and I just don't know how they're finding that many people to even live in these things as well.
And they're not. That's the problem is they don't rent these all out. And so a lot of the time they raise the rent on the people that are already there incrementally when leases are up. But there's a lot of vacant properties in these luxury apartment buildings.
And that's kind of what my old apartment building was almost turning into. That's part of the reason why I moved is that my mm-hmm. rent was going up so much every year. And it felt like it was even getting less bang for my buck in terms of, you know, getting good service, getting calls answered that I needed. So
yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, and they rely on this so much. But we're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. If you have any thoughts on homelessness, affordable housing, luxury apartments, and planning commissions and what they plan for your cities. But let's take a break, and we'll come back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here today.
This is Reverend Jack from Minneapolis, and you are listening to the Repartee here on AM 950. Hey, you guys are awesome. I love you. Repartee, yo. Peace.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
April showers bring May flowers, but make sure no flowers are growing out of your carpet this spring. You know that bacteria and allergens build up in your carpeting, crushing hopes and dreams of healthy indoor air. Only my friends at Zero Res clean with healthy, clean powered water. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the AM 950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Minnesota is the home of heroes. Dock and Lift in Spring Park recognizes all of our local military members. A world of thanks to those who serve and their families for securing peace and prosperity for our country. Freedom rings because of your great sacrifice. Brave hearts who continue to lay down their own lives to protect and defend ours. Dock and Lift in Spring Park. We love our freedom, so we support our troops. We live in the land of the free. Thanks to the brave.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Candy from Green Tea Conversations, Sunday at 10 a.m., and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Reportry.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here with you on a Monday for the Minnesota Progressive Reportry. We got full phone lines right now, so let's run it. We just have a couple minutes left in the show. Mark from Fridley wants to talk about homelessness. Mark, it's always good to have you on.
You bet. Well, I was formerly involved in organizational development, and my theme was that fire prevention is cheaper than firefighting. And we've got to prevent homelessness to alleviate homelessness. And one of the biggest causes of homelessness and personal bankruptcies are health care. And listen to this, and tell me who you think said this. This was a couple of months ago. I don't think 500 billionaires are the reason we're in trouble. The folks at the top aren't the bad guys. That was Joe Biden speaking to the Brookings Institution a couple of months ago. And he also was the key architect for bankruptcy reform in 2005, which makes it nearly impossible to discharge student loans or discharge bankruptcies associated to health care. So Bernie Sanders is the guy.
Well, thank you for the call, Mark. Yeah, I on the Joe Biden thing, when he announced that he was running, I was doing Matt's show, and Matt asked me, how come Bernie people hate on Biden so much? And then a couple days later, Joe Biden actually said Bernie Sanders shouldn't be running in this race. And it's like, that kind of feeds into it, behaving like that. But let's continue with the calls. We got William in Woodbury. William, it's good to have you on.
Hi, yes, just thanks, Brett. Say hello to Brett and Hunter. Thanks for your show.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at moving into, and I lived in New York for a while back, like you said, and they do have, the good thing about New York is they realized a long time ago that they need some kind of rent control there. I don't know why there's
no rent control
bill in Congress, because they just built a massive new luxury apartment right there on the corner of 60. I work at a hospital there in Edina, and they just built a massive new luxury apartment right there on 66 and I think it's Barry Road in Edina there. 66 in York.
Okay.
And it's massive, and I think they donated like 10 apartments for a lower income. 10.
And then those lower income rates are usually still very high rent.
Right. I mean, I Googled the other day what the average apartment cost is there, and I think a studio is going for like $1,500. I don't know who can pay those kind of rent, but, it's insane. I'm trying to find a low-income apartment in that area, and it's impossible. I just don't know. And you look at some of the luxury apartments, you talk about, they're all vacant. They just, like Matt said, Brett said, they're all vacant. I mean, but rather than rent to somebody and just lower the rent, they'll just rather leave them vacant, I guess, because you can always find an empty apartment a vacant apartment and an luxury apartment, most of the lower income ones, they're all gone. You can't find one.
Yeah, absolutely.
People aren't moving out of those.
I just wanted to point out, too, the lack of logic with luxury apartments, too, because if you're getting up, as you're saying, William, $1,500 for a studio apartment for rent, no one's going to rent that because it makes no sense. You would rather buy and build equity.
Yeah.
You're just throwing money away if you're paying $1,500 in rent for like a 500-foot apartment. Even from a financial point of view, it makes no sense to even rent one of those types of things.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Right, and as far as Joe Biden, I would never vote for Joe Biden. I'm still paying my student loans back, and I can't see how anybody could possibly vote for Joe Biden. He's a corporatist, and he's for... banks and everything, and I'm not voting for him for that issue alone. I wouldn't vote for him. I have a hell of a trust between him and Trump. I guess I had to hold my nose and vote for him if it's just him and Trump, but other than that, I would never do it.
All right. Thank you for the call, William. And on the student loans, very excited about Elizabeth Warren's proposal on student loan debt and eliminating it. A big fan of that idea. But let's go to Michelle in Minneapolis, who wants to talk about homeless housing. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I don't want to just parrot what the other two people have said, but they're spot on what they're saying about the amount of luxury housing. I work as a housing access coordinator, so I help people with disabilities in their search for housing, and it's usually subsidized housing, project-based, sometimes those with housing vouchers. And let me tell you, the waiting list for subsidized apartments is years long in Minneapolis, in the Twin City area, the metro area. Some of them in the inner city is usually like 7 to 10 years. And in the outer skirts, it's usually 2 to 3 years. And I'm seeing much less availability for people who have vouchers. And people who have the vouchers aren't even finding any housing. And it makes it incredibly hard. And when all I see around is luxury buildings and these ridiculous amenities that go with it, like dog washing stations or wine tasting for the month, and it's really frustrating. And we need some kind of balance done. I don't know what that would take, but you know, it's very frustrating, and I don't know what else to say.
Well, thanks for the call, Michelle. And we are out of time today. So this is Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson signing off for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.